I got flipped off by a child today. I'm rattled. Okay. You're going to have to steer this episode.
I think that before we jump in, we do need to address this because I would like to read the exact message you sent me, if that is all right with you.
Okay. I want to know what sort of universal message this is.
Okay, so you said, I just got flipped off by a small child through a window at Popeyes. Ha ha. And I said, I'm so happy for that. And you said, like, just looked at me with his big child eyes and slowly lifted his middle finger to the glass.
Methodically. Slowly. Yeah. Deliberately. And he was so cute. Like, because it was one of those situations where you order and then you got to whip around, right? And I had a stressful day. I had to go to the goddamn doctor. So I was like, I'm getting some motherfucking red beans and rice from Popeyes. So I was whipping around and I passed like part of the red, and it was the cutest little boy, and he had these big big little boy eyes, and he was just kind of pressed up into the glass, and I smiled at him and like a machine, like essentially without doing the whole bit, but you know when you do the fake wind up, like you crank the middle finger up, that's basically what he did, but with one hand.
I'm kind of picturing, you know, when Terminator is sinking into like his death vat. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
It jarred me so bad. I hurtled past the drive-thru window. Like, they had to yell at me to come back.
You wrote, I blinked so hard, I missed the drive-thru window. He must have seen that somewhere doesn't know what it means. And
he didn't make any sort of angry expression. He made no expression. He did nothing. It was so jarring. Oh. But it did rattle me because I was like, oh, that's a cute kid. But that's how kids react to me, even from afar through multiple panes of glass when I smile at them.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's just they can smell something in your aura.
They know. They smell the lizard.
Yeah. They're like, this one doesn't understand.
Oh.
This one doesn't. She's not using her ovaries. I'm going to flip her off.
She will not make more of our legion.
Yeah, that's what he's thinking. Fuck you. Wow, what are we talking about today on episode 258?
258, really, is that right? Wow.
Welcome to the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour podcast, the podcast, I guess, about witchcraft. My name's Charlie, and I'm the small child that flipped off Macy in the drive-thru.
My name is Macy, and I am increasingly more and more convinced that children will begin to take us over here soon.
Oh, wow. They're ooh, coming. That'd be awful. But also kind of cool, because then, like, there'd be no taxes. And
it'd be a whimsical existence, but it would also be more animalistic.
Because, like, grown-up shit wouldn't get done. Like, it'd be fun to, like, eat all the, like, syrupy, like, kid food until it's gone and there's nobody in a factory to make more.
Yeah, generally, you gotta have some structure, unfortunately.
You gotta, you gotta have somebody farming some shit. I don't see a kid out there farming.
Can you imagine them pulling up an Excel spreadsheet and looking up being like, hey, we gotta rotate. This field needs to be balanced out. We gotta balance out the nitrogen levels. We gotta do all. I don't see that happening. No.
Who's gonna
spend all day in the fucking lazy river.
Yeah. Who's gonna edit Farmer Wants a Wife for us?
Oh. Granted, I feel like that could have been edited by a child, but that.
Absolutely.
You know. Whatever.
It was like a monkey. Like, you know those monkeys with cymbals? It was one of those. And every time he clashed his cymbals, they would be like, okay, cut right here.
Lots of weird. God, Farmer Wants a Wife. I can't be reminded of that 11 week span of my life.
Just waste. Tell me what you're talking about today. That isn't Virgin River. I mean, Virgin River. Oh God, it's on my brain.
It's coming for us, dude. And you know what River is? Virgin River is that meme of like Michael Myers from Halloween leaning behind the hedges.
Yes.
Like that's what Virgin River is to us right now. It's coming.
Yeah, it's stalking slowly but surely.
God, every day
it's the snail. You know the snail that's always moving towards you, and if it touches you, you die. Have you heard?
God.
You know that?
No, I've not.
Okay. I'll send you a thing. It's a whole thing. Tell me what you're talking about.
I'm talking about moss agate.
Oh, Moss Agate. Have we not talked about that? That's insanity.
I did a few searches and no, but you know, you never know, do you? Like,
wow. Okay. I'm going to talk to you about Rowan. Not the several people we know of that name, but of the,
Isn't that a tree? Okay.
We'll try.
Yeah.
It is a tree.
Okay.
And it has one of the coolest sounding scientific names, but we'll get to that.
Is Rowan one of the Ogham trees? Or Ogham trees, I guess? It's not Ogham, yes. It's Ogham. Okay. Yeah, I forget how to pronounce that. Yeah, it sounds cool. It sounds old.
You're old.
I am old. But okay. Yeah, I'm old at heart. Young. I'm young in body and old at heart.
That's true. You are old at heart. God, what was I going to say, dude? Oh, we have a Patreon shout out for our Patreon shout out segment.
Yeah.
Today's episode is dedicated to, hold on, I have to hit play on naturalreaders.com to make sure I pronounce this right. Hold on. Solaria W.
It must have been mid-afternoon. I could tell by how far Solaria W stretched out and...
Creepy.
Oh, God. Hey, they made a shadow.
You know, I was thinking more like, you know, in the first Freddy, when he's walking down, or Freddy, Nightmare on Elm Street, when he's walking down the alley elongates. And his arms are all wiggly. That's what I'm thinking.
I like how the elongation of Solaria W is how you know whether or not it's mid-afternoon. That's actually highly useful. Yeah. So thank you, Solaria W, for that.
Do you ever receive a piece of information that makes you feel completely neutral and you have no response to it? That's what I did just now.
Great. Help dig me out of this hole, please, and let's go forward.
I'm sorry. I should have done more. Thank you, Solaria W, for stretching out like Freddy in an alley for us.
Oh, God.
I'm going to talk to you now, as it is my go.
Okay.
First, I'm talking to you about Rowan.
Cool.
Scientific name. Sorbus Acupara, or Paria. I don't know.
That's like an incantation.
I know! But it's just known as the Rowan tree. It actually belongs to the Rosaceae family.
Hey, what doesn't?
And what doesn't, dude? Except the mint family. These are like the five families of the mafia.
They are. They're really like all a big bunch of organized families. Yeah. It's very true.
It's kind of scary. So it is native to Europe and parts of Asia, and it is closely related to the apple and the pear tree.
Cool.
Which I didn't know. Common names are, not to ETAs, AKAs, are rowan tree, mountain ash, European rowan, European mountain ash.
I like it. I like it.
And it is important to note that it's mountain ash is not related to an ash tree. It's I don't know why trees get the, I don't know why people call plants things sometimes when they're obviously not related to anything, but it does look, it's deciduous and it grows up to a height of 30 to 50 feet.
No, it's tidy.
Yeah. For you guys who don't speak in how many, you know, cups, how many cups tall that tree is, that is 9 to 15. Drinking out of cups.
Being a bitch.
Approximately 9 to 15 meters. And they are a slender tree. You don't like my meters?
I, you know what? I don't even know why I laughed. It sounded very normal.
It's natural. I've been speaking this way for years. You just haven't noticed. I don't know why it makes you cringe so. They're a slender tree. And they have serrated leaflets, which I just thought was a cute. Normally, I wouldn't, like, really go into, like, this is what the leaves look like. But, like, serrated leaflets sounds adorable.
Leaflet and, is a cute word. I can't leaflet. Hear it and not think of that, like, episode, that early episode of Friends when he's like, tartlets, tartlets. When he's super stoned and on the loop, that's all that's I could think right. when you said leaflets.
I forgot about that episode.
Yeah. Way back. This has nothing to do with your topic.
He blazed up a doobie in the car. And then Monica was like, no. Like they don't live in New York City and probably all smoke weed.
Yeah. Like in reality, that whole bunch of friends would have been token up a storm.
I mean, Chandler was on cocaine.
Oh,
sorry. He's fine. In the spring and the summer, the leaves are green and described commonly as lush. However, when we get more to they transfer into these beautiful, like, brilliant shades of red and orange and yellow. Yes. And they bloom. Fragrant little white flowers that only come in the late spring / early summer. And they do have little berries, which I did not look and see if you could eat.
They don't look like you'd want to eat them, but I don't know.
This is the bright red or orange berries, and I feel like bright red is usually like the danger color for berries. Don't ever eat a berry. How's that?
Ah, shit. I've got a couple of these on my property.
What?
I remember they are special trees because Papa said that he got them. They were special trees and I never retained what they were, but this is absolutely what they are. Remember when I said that I accidentally, when I accidentally fucked up that mouse's stash for the winter and I was like terrified over it? It was full of rowan berries.
Oh, that was the berry.
Yeah, it's exactly what it was.
Well, maybe you saved it. Maybe it's poison.
I don't know anything.
Listen, I have a little bit of history for you. I'm going to talk about the Celtic and Druid tradition. So the rowan tree has a long history of significance within those traditions. The Celts referred to... Do you say Celts or Celts? Because it really annoys me when people say Celts.
I say Celts.
And like the sports team? When people are like, the Celts, I'm like,
I think the sports team is specifically supposed to be pronounced as Celtics, but like.
Not the Celtics?
I think the sports team itself is the Celtics. Yeah.
I don't get it.
That's intentional.
Man.
Yeah.
I don't get
But no, in referring to like history, I say like Celtic.
Okay.
But well, again, I don't know. Shit.
The Celtsers.
I don't think it is. I think it's Celt. I think. I don't know. I want it to be.
Okay. They revered the tree as sacred, and they associated it with the goddess Brigid, which you might remember in the goddess Brigid episode. I believe we spoke about the rowan tree. Who is the goddess of healing, poetry, and the hearth. And so because of that, these trees were often planted near wells and springs because they were considered places of great magical power. And the Druids believed that the rowan tree possessed a protective quality, and they used them in various rituals of protection. And like you said, this is a part of the Druid tree calendar or the... now, you pronounced it different. That's why I asked you earlier, because just reading it, I'd be like, Ogham clock.
I'm trying to remember, because this is, I covered another one of the trees on there. I want to say it was Oum.
Oum.
But I don't know.
I'm looking for the Oum. I don't see it. I said, but Rowan is one of those trees, and it is kind of where we would put like the 1 o'clock slice of the clock pizza.
You know? Yeah, what is it, like February?
I don't know, man. It's 1 o'clock.
Okay. Okay.
On the wheel of the year. That's what I wrote down. That's all I know. I am clicking on a secondary thing, though, right now. Yeah, it's looking like it's kind of right in that exactly where we are. It's that slice between Litha and Ludensaw where we are right now, which Lamas is coming up pretty damn quick. And I will never get the ringing of our very first Sabbat episode out of my head, where it opened up and Macy, you declared, "It's Lamas Day."
Yeah, it's Lamas Day. Yeah, way back.
Wow. Let's see. So now we move on, as is tradition, to the Christian adaptation. And as Christianity spread across Europe, where the tree is mostly from, the rowan tree's protective symbolism was one of those things that got assimilated into the Christian practice. So it began to be planted, much like the yew tree began being planted near churches, cemeteries for protection. The branches were thought to hold a spiritual power. And all of these rituals that were going on by the Druids and like kind of pre-Christian religions now began to hold the similar significance within Christianity. And it was also, luckily, one of those things that was sort of eased into Christianity and not something that was like, this is a devil tree. We're not going to ever talk about it again. But there's still folklore around it. It retains some of that pre-Christian and Christian association, but like outside of religion. So a lot of people use this tree to protect against evil spirits
and you need that
harmful witchcraft, which I love that it was actually specified this time. And it's not one of those things that's like, hey, if you're a witch, you could use this energy to keep witches away.
That's always fun. I love it when you get those weird kind of like Spider-Man pointing memes of things that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
So placing rowan branches or even just the berries above doors, windows, any points of, you know, entrance into your home is associated with protection against evil spirits, but also the fae. And it seems to be sort of in the way of when we're talking about fae as like troublesome or trickster spirits. I know a lot of people do choose to work with the fae, but like also maybe don't come in my house. You know,
that who knows? That really fits though the folklore and whatnot of that region though. Mm-hmm. Fairies are intense.
Fairies are intense. And you know what? I feel like they're easily offended, but I also feel like they respect the whole look, we'll work together, but like, don't come into my home. I won't go into your home. Don't come into my home.
I've generally had luck with that approach, at least on this property, like a mutual, just like, you know, like a nod.
Yeah. I'm going to trust that I have some kind of loving, like, Domovic that hangs around and keeps things chill for me. I should treat him better. But, and the Wheel of the Year, it is a celebrated tree for this time of year. Now, I'm assuming it was maybe a little more intense back then before the whole global warming, because right now we're smack dab in the middle of summer. And even though this tree's association extends a little bit past when Lamas happens, it's still dead heat of summer and the trees are not beginning to turn yet. However, when this tree does turn, it's got those bright fuck off leaves, and it's celebrated and associated with the harvest season and the autumn season, even though it's technically out of that like little slice of the Wheel of the Year that it had, just because it changes so distinctly. You can really pick it out of a crowd. It gets worked into a lot of fall things. If you have any kind of fall decor where there's a tree and it's got those like bright ass orange leaves, it's probably, you know, it's a good chance it's a rowan tree. Now listen here. In Norse mythology, the rowan tree was associated with the goddess Freya and was considered a protective tree. So all of these, going back, we're seeing protection over and over and over again. In Slavic God, my words are really jamming today. In Slavic folklore, rowan trees were believed to be inhabited by highly respected spirits.
Okay, and cool.
Yeah. So not only is this a protective tree, but it's got some power. Highly respected spirits would live in it. It would, like, even the fae would respect, like, hey, okay, I'm not coming in because you got this there, and I know that that means for me to not go away. It's a powerful little dude. Okay. But outside of the power it holds, there are many mundane uses for rowan. And one of the big prized uses is in woodworking. It is heralded for its fine grain and its durability. And it's used in making things like handles or small tools, things that kind of need to maybe take a little bit of a beating. But that is all, it, like spindles. Sorry, I put a note in here that in the past, rowan wood was used mostly to make spindles for spinning wool and other kind of household items like knitting needles, things like that. So that very
sense. It's useful. Also not a very thick tree always.
Right. Yeah. So, it's probably easy to get, like, the smaller things. You don't want to, like, make a tiny knitting needle out of, like, a huge oak tree or something. But also, any of these, like, skinny trees, like pine and that, it gives me the vibe of, like, it's not necessarily here for a long time. It's here for a good time, you know? It's shooting up, trying to get that sun, but it's getting outlived by the big fuck-off oak tree. Again, oak is where my brain goes to when I think of a big fuck-off tree. But, let's see. Birds love it. They love the bright red berries. It's a very, as I have here, not knowing that this was the food source that you wiped out, rowan trees serve as a very important food source for wildlife.
I believe that. I hope it collected them all. I hope it didn't, like, abandon them because they smelled like human. I tried to brush them all back in the corner, and I was like, listen, mouse, like, you need to know I tried here.
It's especially important during the colder months when all the... when other food sources may be scarce.
Great. Good.
So it supports ecosystems and biodiversity, making it valuable. But outside of that, Macy just absolutely murking an entire family of mice. rowan trees, often planted in hedgerows and windbreaks, which I can use my context clues to know what a windbreak is, but I have never seen it referred to as a windbreak, but I guess it makes sense. They're often planted because they have very dense foliage, and they're tough trees. They're resilient to harsh condition. They keep harsh winds from affecting people's shelters and also crops and livestock and things like that. They also are really good for stabilizing soil and preventing erosions in hillsides and slopes. So I'm thinking, like, this area in particular, you know, like, we've got a lot of, slopey areas where I feel like farmers and shit like to put these kinds of plants that kind of help to stabilize the environment. I guess that's everywhere, but it just really made me think of, like, Texas and our little cows.
You see shrubby little trees like that planted around ponds, like man-made ponds and whatnot, like around the sides of it that you kind of build up. Like, you see that a lot.
What was the plant that basically just barrels in first? And it's like, if there's a was it cattails? It was just like, I'm gonna grow here now.
Golly, yeah, I don't remember. One of them was chestnuts. I know, because we talked about. We've talked about a few of those, but
aren't you glad the blight got? Yeah.
Well, it's not over, but they're starting to be able to fix it with the now introduced. Yeah.
Aren't you glad we cured the blight, Macy?
Mission accomplished.
Got it. Rowan trees are also very popular for just planting, for their very attractive appearance, those vibrant colors, the way that they kind of hold on to their foliage. And they're just pretty trees. They're very pretty trees. They also kind of attract things like birds and wildlife to come snack on them. So it's got like a Disney, it's like a real Disney vibe. There are traditional medicinal uses. The berries were used in some traditional folk medicine after careful processing to remove their toxic compounds. There we go. I knew it was somewhere in here. Okay. I knew it was somewhere in here, but that's why I was confused, because there are ways that they can be processed to make medicinal remedies, and jams and syrups and wines and stuff like that, and to use these for things internally like sore throat. However, that is not to say go out and snack you on some of these berries, because unprocessed properly, they might get your ass. However, if they are processed, and again, I'm not telling you how to do that. I'm not even saying you should do that. If you know someone who does it, trust, whatever, talk to a doctor. Read our disclaimer. Rowan berries contain phytochemicals, including flavonoids, which I always love when something includes flavonoids, because I have no fucking clue what it is, but I love to say it. They are flavonoid. It sounds like a fake thing. They would tell you had nutritional property like in the 50s, but it was really just sugar. Flavonoids.
Yeah. If I needed to think of a fake science word to sound smart, I would pick flavonoid.
Flavonoid. It enhances the flavor. They are packed with antioxidants and vitamin C. They also support our immune function because of the vitamin C that's in it, but also reducing free radicals and neutralizing that kind of stress within the body. They do contain, look, I knew I had it in here somewhere. Do you ever take notes over like the course of like a few days and then you just kind of forget where things are placed within the notes? Anyway.
Yes.
So raw rowan berries do contain a toxic compound, which can cause gastric irritation and poisoning. So they are not safe to eat. They must be processed like they are and have been in traditional remedies. And some of those ways are by cooking them, fermenting them, drying them. But then again, I'm not sure how effective each and every one of those are. So look into it before you do it. Magical properties. Let's get into the metaphys. The first one we've talked about a lot already. Protection. It's been associated with protection through many different cultures, many different times, guarding against evil, guarding against negative energies. You can make it into a protective charm or an amulet, or put it up in your household. This has been going on for a long time. Rowan trees protect you. They also ward off the fae. Now, this is traditional in Appalachian and European folklore. Rowan is believed to ward off fairies to protect you from their mischief. Let's see. I'm skipping this part of my notes because I already talked about divination and psychic abilities. Enhances your psychic abilities and your divination practices. They connect you to the spirit world, and it is historical. Association with. Are you not going to call me on that? You're going to let me keep doing that?
What?
Just enunciating certain words. You're going to let me do it? All right.
I've just been letting you riff. You know, you're rocking and rolling.
Rowan trees, rowan berries, having them around, not consuming them, just having them around, does facilitate clearer visions and a clearer connection to the higher realms. And you can also use them as offering, use them as decoration on your altar. You can smush them, the berries specifically, into some kind of like non-internal, not potion. What do you call it? Tonic? No. What? God, why am I losing my mind right now? What's the word when it's like not a potion? Like you don't eat it, but you make it. What's the, help me.
I don't know.
Some kind of elixir.
I would say potion, but I would just know I'm not drinking this potion.
A potion, but don't drink it. There. Mm-hmm. That's its legal papered name. Ever since you said that, I can't stop saying that about
things. Papered name.
You know what else I can't stop saying, Macy? I cannot stop saying Ella was balls about this.
Ella was balls. Oh, dude, I had to buy a whole new package of tabs because I ran out of orange tabs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm having to work ahead because I've never had to pay attention to this story so hard. So I'm learning things I've never known. So I'm having to read ahead to like, oh, shit, so I can really understand it for when we go back. So there's orange tabs. It's like if you just look at the book, it's just orange. It's just an orange book.
Nice. Love it. Mm-hmm. It's like some of my like textbooks in college. I feel like I would go through and highlight things and then it would just be a page of yellow.
I'm treating it like a study.
I might be dumb.
Every morning for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, I sit down with that book and I study it.
What's the book for those of you who are listening, I guess for the first time? Sorry.
Oh, God, there's no way they've left. The book that we are covering on Patreon for Simply Captivating, our first ever book, is Cushiel's Dart by Jacqueline Carey. Y'all, if you've listened from the beginning, you've heard me talk about this book so much. And it's great. And we're breaking it apart week by week as a lot of people are reading along. Charlie is totally blind and I'm telling her the story. And there's still people hopping on. Totally. And we did the first episode last week. So we're still early in it if you want to hop in and go along with us. But like, I'm having a good time over here. Like, it's a lot. It's more work than I expected, but I did it to myself.
Brother, I can't even imagine. I also have been, I just can't get the, what we have been through already, which is what? Just the first six chapters. Yeah. I have everything in my life, I'm relating to it. And we had a suggestion from Sekka, you know her, you love her, because I said I was going to, like, draw the characters, but, like, also... Sekka was like, you know what? You should make them in The Sims. So when I get a functioning
really
computer
should.
Screen again, I think that would be hilarious. It's weird that we stopped to promo Patreon right here because I do have two more little tidbits about Rowan that I could have just said and then we could have done this. But let me wrap up here. So Rowan can be used within rituals to honor and communicate with ancestral spirits, linking the living and the deceased because of the tree's association with the spirit world. And the way that it was, it interacts with spirits and was planted around spirits and protects from spirits, but also has a lot of real world usage. It's kind of that bridge in between. And lastly, I think is weird because we've already really kind of talked about it. You can mix this into your spells that you want to use to amplify your intentions or amplify your magic power. So you could also, I guess, kind of use this like a crystal quartz or like your, or like your rosemary in a way, in that it magnifies the power that you are trying to do. And it is also trying to, it's a symbolism of protection and power and potency. But that is, that's Rowan. And I was specifically looking for trees that were strongly connected to Appalachian folk magic because I'm back on my shit with learning. Deeply kind of doing a deep dive into that again. So
cool. Wow. All right. Awesome. I'm glad to have an identity on this tree that I wasn't aware of what it was and that I now do know just how much disruption I brought to the local wildlife.
I was going to say, I'm glad to know that you have some of these. I didn't know that about your property. I'm sure I would know them if you pointed them out to me. But it's not necessarily something I was like, oh, Macy has those. But you did kill that whole family.
I mean, only if they're picky. All they're going to do is rock up back on their stash and see that it's just in disarray.
Hopefully we get an email from, like, I don't know, some kind of marine biologist.
No. Nope.
Yeah. Who's like, rats don't care if you touch their food.
I don't think they do, actually. I feel like they came back and were like, what fucking asshole? And then they just put it all back and then left again.
Probably. Yeah. I don't think it's like when a bird smells its baby and then kicks it out if a human touched it, which is a myth, by the way. But
still don't touch baby birds. if you can get away
maybe
with it.
Don't just touch animals out in the wild.
Yeah, generally good advice.
Yeah, get your shit rocked.
All right, I'm going to talk to you about moss agate. Are you ready?
I really hope that you do.
Okay, right out of the gate, moss agate isn't an agate. Isn't that fun?
Why?
But this one is kind of excusable. It's like this one I can kind of be like, okay, no, right. It's still all right, you know. Cause
yeah, right.
Here's the deal. It's not banded. So if you might have noticed before with agate, a lot of time it's got like rings, like these concentric rings, like rings on a tree. And even the slices, you know, the sweet little slices that you can get that are like nightlights and shit, you know, they have rings. Yeah. Moss agate is not banded. It does not have those rings. So it is strictly in that sense, not an agate, because that's kind of like... Okay, like, you know, in Cushiel's Darto, there's like the marks of the houses. Okay, it's like, you don't, that's like, that's the agate one. All right, you're going to have that, right? And they don't. But they're roped on in because they're
that's
like.
That's just been how my brain's been working the past.
And like, mine too. Because like, I'm having to live inside that story in order to put all these pieces together. And it's everything. It's my whole waking existence. But it is. It is chemically and like it's very much like just like the other agates, but it's not banded like that, which makes a difference. It's actually a variety of chalcedony in the quartz family, but it's pretty much an agate. It just don't have those the bands on it because it forms a little differently.
Also looks like blue cheese, a little bit like the other stone that we talked about.
It does. I mentioned that because some, the ones that are a bit more opaque, do kind of have that little cheesy look. Oh, I love it. And so, where am I? Okay. Moss agate, kind of on that note, can feature kind of a clear background to an opaque, more like milky white background. There's variation here. And set within this base are these like really pretty inclusions, kind of earthy inclusions. They range from being like almost a dark black to a green to like a greenish blue sometimes. These inclusions that can look a lot like plant matter. Sometimes they can look like fern fronds or sometimes like wisps of like seaweed kind of billowing in water.
It's nothing, just a wisp of cloud.
Why is that familiar to me? What is that?
You know it. You fucking know it. You know what it is, bitch.
I do. What
it's
is
crab
that?
Hide from Dunland.
What?
Lord of the Rings, bitch. When they're hanging out and they see the wisp of cloud, but it's actually all them birds.
Oh, the fucking birds. How do they think it's a wisp of cloud? Maybe that's why I've blocked that out. It is obviously not. It's black.
Because comedic relief Gimli had to have something to say, and he's
why
the
did
only
they
one
do,
that pipes up.
Why did they?
Why did they do that like to that? Him? Gimli is such a badass, but instead he's just like, haha, I'm tiny.
Yeah, no, I don't know why they did that. I don't. I guess they just thought it would be too heavy otherwise.
Go into the entire like background of Elvish lore or Dwarvish lore.
God, so okay. Here we are. So you get a big variation here in what you're looking like. Like you mentioned, you can get one that looks like a block of that stinky blue chi, you know? Or you can get one that almost looks like a terrarium. Like it's like clear with like, it just looks like these mounds of moss all inside of it and like multiple layers. It's very unusual. I feel like it doesn't look real sometimes. And these green inclusions are called dendritic inclusions.
Whoa.
And a crystal dendrite is a multi-branching form. And it gets its name from a Greek root of tree. So the name comes from how it looks. It looks like a plant. I know, dendritic. And you get that branched out structure. So that's where it comes from, that kind of plant mattery like shape to these inclusions. And this is a silica.
I know that rhododendron is tasty for you to say, but it tastes, you know, when the dentist like drills your teeth and you get that mouthful of tooth spit taste?
That's terrible.
That's what rhododendron feels like to me.
Oh, no, I don't get that at all. Yeah, that sucks, because that's one of the worst tastes in the world is when you taste your own teeth from the inside.
I
had to drive past that dentist office today that thought it was cool to do 3 crown installs without numbing me on the same day. And I had a moment where I felt my body break into sweat again.
Yeah, you blink.
Monsters. So, all right, listen, this is a silica-based crystal. And it's formed through silica precipitation, and then it's these silica-rich fluids, they fill these cracks, right? And this is a volcanic rock, so it fills all these cracks and rocks, and it solidifies eventually into a mineral. In the case of moss agate, it often contains inclusions of iron and other minerals such as chrome, I saw. I don't know.
What?
I don't know science and earth stuffs. But there's minerals in there that can help give it those green hues that make it look so pretty and give it that moss-like color and pattern. So chrome. Yeah, here I have it. Such as chrome and iron that seem to give you some of them tones. So despite the name, as mentioned already, there's no organic matter in here. Like, while it looks like there are sometimes, like, really, it can look like there's pieces of, like, preserved, like, drag, like, mosquito and amber kind of stuff. Like, it looks like plant pieces preserved or, like, in resin. It can look like that. It's not. There's nothing. It's just.
I just spent so long trying to figure out what mosquito and amber was. And I realize now that you're saying, like, the mosquito in the amber.
Yes.
But for a second, I thought it was one word, like mosquito and amber. And I was like, I don't know what this
I don't know
is.
The meaning of the word. So it is generally formed from weathered volcanic rocks. And since it forms in fissures or is like little pebbles rather than in like the traditional way of like agate layering, that's why you're missing those bands. It doesn't have those. So it's like chemically very much the same, but it forms differently. So it doesn't get the rings to it. Another important factor in the formation is water. It's essential pretty much for the process to all go down, as it helps to dissolve the minerals and kind of fill up the voids and the cracks in the rocks and eventually hardens into the minerals. So that's why, or into the crystal, and that's why you find it oftentimes in volcanic rocks that have been altered by water or have like a water source for this process to happen. So it is not uncommon for some moss agates to be chemically treated and colored to help pop out the colors as well and make it look a bit more intense. You can look into that sometimes with your sourcing. It's oftentimes good if you want to find some like good natural shit. You can find you a crystal source, you know, and get you some good specimens for your collection. And something that,
sorry, that it just sounded like a song and excited me.
Excited. It is hard. It's a hard stone. And we're talking 6.5 to 7. So it's pretty sturdy. Pretty sturdy in there. And it's found a lot of places in the world. It's found very largely in India and Brazil, Uruguay, Central Europe, as well as it's in the Western United States quite a bit, especially around Montana and Yellowstone, Wyoming. It seems to, especially around Yellowstone, due to some of the volcanic activity there, especially. So you can find it apparently around there. It's waiting, you know, it's just waiting to send us all back. And so when it comes to caring for your moss agate, generally, you just want to clean it with some soap and water. You don't, that'll do the trick. You don't apparently want to chuck it in one of those ultrasonic cleaners or anything like that. Like if you have it in a jewelry piece, and listen, I think those are cool as hell. But you don't want to put this in there just because it could vibrate micro fissures and cracks inside of it and make it more brittle and eventually maybe break it apart. So you don't want to clean it like that. Just give it a little wash. I hate
the phrase vibrate something into something. I'm going to vibrate cracks into you.
I don't know why.
It's just so aggressive.
It is aggressive, and it could happen. So don't. I've always wanted to get one of those, though, just because it always makes my rings look. Yeah, which I only have two fancy rings, like, you know, like my set of rings that I have. They're the only ones that I have. Any jewelry, really, that I have that would benefit from it. But every time that I go take it to get looked at, because you got to tend to go get like looked at every 6 months or whatever. Oh, yeah. They always put them in the buzzy cleaner machine, and they come out
and they look so
special. Yeah. Yeah. It's nice.
Sparkly.
So.
You know what pisses me off, though?
Mm.
Is there's these TikTok frauds out here.
Whoa.
Like showing these, like, oddly satisfying. And they, like, show you a ring and then they put it in and, like, all this dirt flies off of it. And, like, it's really sus. I started, like, going, giving it the side eye when, like, all the dirt coming off of all the rings was the same color.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't know about that shit. And then you look at the before picture, and it looks like they just ground some, like, cinnamon or, like, some nutmeg.
Probably
it's, like,
did.
Slightly red. Just, like, kind of so you could get this, like, super satisfying.
The good puff of cloud. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on
trickery! Falsehood!
Phony!
So, another name for this, for, moss agate is mocha stone or maca stone. I saw both written out. Yeah, so it comes from the Arabian city of Mocha in Yemen.
Oh.
And that was an ancient source for these stones. I'm going to Yemen. Why is that twice we've brought up Friends in this episode? What is happening? I've not seen Friends in a long time. I guess aging. So. It just makes a deep impression. Anyway,
it really just doesn't let you go.
It doesn't.
Don't understand, man.
Metaphys yes. time. Now, I don't know how true this is, but it was one of those things that you just see all the time. I
love when it starts that way. Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
You see all over all over the internet, just kind of copied and pasted, maybe slightly reworded, but it's the same like little tidbit over and over and over again. Yeah. So apparently this was seen in the Middle Ages as a bit of an agricultural stone, the gardener's stone. And you can hang it from trees around your garden to help ensure a successful harvest. Some people would tie it to the horns of their oxen for when they plowed to like help apparently.
I'm sure they loved that.
Bring in the I don't even think oxens are going to fucking notice that, dude. And I think they just plowed around that bit, bless the ground as they did so, as they had the little agates hanging from their horns as they, I think they were more concerned about the plowing they were having to pull.
Focusing on the wrong thing.
So what I can assume is to maybe minimal surprise, this is a grounding stone. Can you believe it?
Oh,
and
wow.
I mean, it looks like the earth. It gives earthy vibes. It has a feel that's very earthy and settling to it. Not to mention, some of them really just look like you're looking into a terrarium, you know, or it's something that like a resin artist made. Like it doesn't look like it should be real, like something that formed in the dirt.
A resin artist.
Moss agate is pretty heavily centered around emotions, but the settling of them, kind of helping to bring them to a baseline, a middle ground place that's going away from, you know, explosive or, you know, afraid, high anxiety, things like that. Just helping to kind of, you know, maybe chill you out a little bit. Find a level zone. Mm. And, you know, if emotions are running high, whether it be your nerves are shot or you're angry or you're afraid, it's maybe believed, if you believe in the crystal kind of thing, that moss agate can maybe help bring you back to a clearer state of mind, maybe just calming down a little bit so you can reassess with a bit cooler of a head. And this can be useful. This can be useful for a lot of things. Generally, I like to think it's good to try to cool off before discussing things, especially if it's initially seeming like things could maybe get heated. I just like, you know, like having sometimes it's good to be able to take a little bit of time, cool off, come back when an actual discussion can take place. Because sometimes maybe it's just not the right time. You can just kind of come back down. And that can just maybe cooler heads prevail sometimes in
which is hard situations. To do sometimes.
It is. And I don't do yelling. I won't be yelled at. Right. I won't yell and I won't be yelled at. It's just like, it's a firm. I was around too much yelling growing up. Can't take it. Won't do it. But I do sometimes get in modes of just kind of just being, sometimes you're just fucking zeroed in on something and grumpy, you know, and kind of getting into a state of like, is this something I actually want to bring up? Or do I want to like go for a walk and see just how much of this is just pent up stress in me? It's actually something else entirely, you know, like oftentimes I find that something that I might have been really irritated about really wasn't that big of a deal and wouldn't have been worth making a thing of anyway. And I just needed to go let some steam out, you know, like go just do something else to get my mind
go
off of.
Go dance like Kevin Bacon did and Footloose.
But like sometimes though that does it. Like I'll just put music on and force myself to dance around my house. And it's like afterwards, like, how do I feel about things? You know? Or my favorite, because it's like I'll say it all out loud. I'll like have the conversation that I would like to say out loud maybe a few times. And then it's oftentimes that's enough. I just needed to like talk myself through it, you know?
Yeah.
And
see, that does the opposite for me. That works me up.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's because I can't help but, like, picture what they would say, and then I, like, argue with them in my head. I don't know, man.
You just get into it, just start playing roles, switching back and forth.
It's usually in the shower. You ever yelled at somebody in your head in the shower? It's great.
I've had some pretty probably, like, theatrical cinematic arguments in my head in the shower. Yeah, probably. this can also perhaps be a good crystal to carry if you were someone like moi who is hypervigilant. If you struggle from hypervigilance, whether it's, you know, it can be rooted in a few different things. It can be rooted trauma, anxiety disorders, a few different other disorders, or a few of them are all wrapped up together in a fun little combo package.
That's fun.
Hypervigilance can be really exhausting to deal with. It's tiring to read every micro expression and wonder what it means. It can manifest in all kinds of different ways, you know, to where it's like some days are like that. And some days you're checking all the exits and marking everything and scanning all the people in the grocery store and just kind of always looking ahead at like, what's the threat going to be? It's just exhausting. It's very tiring. And a lot of the times I've found with me in managing it, it's just like coming aware in those moments of like what I'm doing, you know, you know, like every now and again, I'll be having like a conversation. And it was a lot worse after the isolation of COVID because I was out of practice of having to communicate publicly, like out and about again. And so all of these like behaviors that I had in check really got out of control and I didn't even know it until I found myself like when I was like out meeting new people again, like reading their expressions and being like, am I like being an asshole? Like what did that mean? What did that tiny small like eye narrow mean? Did that mean that like do they not trust what I'm saying, or am I like coming across as arrogant? Like, and it's a constant thing, you know, that's just going reading everything, every sign of everything, everybody's body language all of the time, and wondering what it all means, wondering how like, and it's just, it's tiring. And sometimes you just need that little reminder, even if you don't necessarily believe in the vibes, having something just in your pocket that you can check in with that is purely there to remind you that the stories in your head are stories, you know, and you have just as much of a right to just exist as you are and talk and be a person. And like, it's okay. Like, it's nice to have that, even if, you know, you don't believe in a magical sense necessarily. Sometimes it's just a check-in object, you know, that you can kind of take a hold of and just be like, this is not what it appears, you know, and quite this way when you feel yourself getting maybe or a bad day. You're just having a bad day of it and you're just feeling the hypervigilance yeah. really ramped up and everything is so much and it all means something. And so this could be maybe a good one to have to help balance those emotions out, getting you back to that baseline. So you're not just, you know, hyperanalyzing every single little minute thing. And that makes it hard to be vulnerable because to be vigilant is like the antithesis of being vulnerable. Like it literally to be vigilant means your guard is up. And it makes it hard to trust and make friends and things like that. Because when you're always wondering where you fucked up or what things mean, like what this eye movement mean, like all of it, it's exhausting and it's confusing and it's all rooted in all kinds of fun shit like trauma. And so it is, and I still have tools along with, you know, just things that you can learn through counseling and whatnot and all of these other things to help manage it. But we love our metaphysical tools because they can just, yeah. if nothing else, be little friends in your pocket, you know, to just kind of help.
A helping hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to help kind of remember the baseline, you know, remember back down to earth, a little bit. So that's always just
literally
nice. Yeah, literally
it's a very, rock.
It's nice and earthy. It's a rock. And it can also help
boulder.
Like a rock. Like a rock. It
was that Ford? Chevy? I don't remember that.
I think one of them had that in their ad campaign for years and years and years, years oh, yeah. and years.
I know it from that more than the legit that it song. Was, exactly. I was just saying, I forgot that that was a legit song and not like a jingle.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Do
you remember, I'm going to buy me a Mercury and cruise it up and down the road?
No.
Okay.
So, moss agate can also be good if you are wanting to maintain your own coolness while standing your ground. You know, you do need to have the communication. You do need to have a conversation, but you want to keep yourself wheeled in a little bit to stand your ground and get your, you know, bit across, but not maybe screaming and also not allowing yourself to get screamed at. Just standing your ground a little bit. And so
now I'm thinking of that song by the not the Decemberists, the other banjo band that got popular.
The Mumford and Sons.
Yeah. Anyway.
Which song?
That one song. He says, I'm gonna stand my ground.
Oh, okay.
That's all it took.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Okay. Anyway, it's just a good stone for communication. This is because we all have different backgrounds and whatnot, you know, and so oftentimes, and it can be tricky with partners to have communications because your different backgrounds might create trauma responses that cause you to react in certain ways that might kind of be inflammatory to each other. And right. you know, and it's like, but that doesn't mean that either of them is invalid. You know, they both matter. They're both relevant. It just takes a responsibility to both of them and an awareness to kind of figure out how best to communicate with each other in a way that's the most conducive. And perhaps this could be a good one. Maybe have like a little sphere in the middle of the table, you know, and you can come down and talk at the table and like have this space of neutrality, you know, and understanding where you both come from and how sometimes the same situation can cause two highly different responses in people, you know? And so it's just oftentimes it's ideal to just be as understanding as we can of each other. And this can maybe be a helpful thing when it comes to that communication and just kind of giving each other the respect and also taking our own responsibility of knowing how we react and communicating, all right, well, this is something that I can't handle. So we're not going to do that, you know, and hopefully having a reciprocation in that and kind of laying out how best we need to talk to each other because this ain't it, you know, this isn't going to get us anywhere and yeah. working out from there. Get out of there, Penny.
Oh, get out of there. I heard a little pop.
She's rummaging. You quit rummaging. So Anyway, it can, when it comes to the zodiacs, right, getting into the, there was a handful here that I found it.
I love it when it's like the Zodiac Association is Scorpio and also Cancer and Leo and Aquarius and Pisces. Yeah.
There were three big top runners here, though, and the most consistent was Virgo, because it can help, and this kind of pairs again with like that. It just helps with an over-analytical mind, a mind that is maybe running a lot, and that also kind of harkens back to like it's the, you know, like the vigilance, like the over-analyzing Virgo, of every single thing. Yeah, really? Second most, Aquarius. So... Aha. Aha. And I was like, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also Gemini. So all of these three, I'm like, okay. Sure. Yeah.
The only difference is the Gemini is just much more likely to talk about it.
Yeah. Instead of it just being internal, it's external.
Yeah.
So
you're going to know that the Gemini is worried.
I got such a, So I had a moment of deep familiarity with my little niece on Hunter's side. She's 5 now, and she talks very matter-of-factly, you know, and she's just very smart, she's very clever, very serious. She reminds me a lot of me as a little kid. And very serious child. And dude, this is going to really clinch it for you. We were swimming the other day. We were over at like a family pool party, and she can swim now, and she likes to cannonball into the pool, you know. And she was like, you know, sometimes I like to yell cannonball like before I jump, you know. And she looked at me and got very serious, and she went, some humans like to do that.
Stop!
And I was like, yeah, I know. I see
also,
you.
Is she also an Aquarius?
She is not an Aquarius. Let me actually look up what she is, because I should know the wheel, but some humans, and I was just like, I know what you
Way to give yourself away, man.
I immediately was like, oh, hello, fellow alien child. I recognize. Pisces Aquarius cusp.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Definitely spacey in some way.
Big time.
Not of this. Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Is that every, oh, that's not everything I had. Sorry. I got caught up.
You did the same thing I did.
Okay. Hold on. Let me scroll back. Shut up. There we go. Okay.
Ooh, I got talking to me?
No.
I'll fisticuffs with you.
We need to talk about friendship. So this is a good stone for friendship. Who do stuff together.
Oh, it's friends,
You can, so this is a good one. Maybe a budding friendship, a new friendship, one that, you know, maybe you're wanting to get going. Like, this is a good friendship bracelet material, and it's good for just embracing being friends and trusting that you deserve to have friends and that there's no repercussion later for trying to make said friend, you know. And as someone who's always, I've always had a hard time making friends because I struggle with the vulnerability generally required to make friends, re the hypervigilance. And I've really enjoyed just kind of like being honest about it and like meeting so many people up at the studio. It's just kind of like a can we be friends vibe up there. And I really appreciate that, you know, just like seeing people just claiming each other and deciding like, you know, we're going to be friends instead of like the high school method of like tap dancing around it and like kind of courting. And then you do like the awkward, are we friends? Are we not? Like, can we like invite each other to hang out? You know, it's like, just call, be friends, get each other's numbers, plan a fucking coffee date, claim each other, get a friendship bracelet. It's fun. Like, we need friends more than ever. Right now, I feel like in this increasingly crazy world.
It's fun. Like, fun.
It's fun. But, you know, and remembering that, like, it could be good to, that we deserve friends. If you are someone like me that has had a hard time making friends and sometimes feeling that you have a hard time relating to humans, maybe this can help you with that a little, you know, maybe just remembering, like, I know you get to have friends too. Like, you deserve to have them. And we're adults now. We're not in middle school and high school. We have the privilege of just getting to do this, to break out of kind of those horrors of what it felt like in those years when it is terrifying to try to branch out and make new friends. It doesn't have to be that way anymore. You know, and I've found generally, as I've been more open about just wanting to be friends with people more, it's reciprocated. And oftentimes everybody's a little nervous and like, oh, good. You know, like I was really like, but you just, when you grow up and it's very scary to just like approach and want to be friends with a new group of people, like that can be really mean and bad, really bad. Yeah. I had it in bad, like really, really bad. So, you know, but that's the beauty is in moments like this, and Moss Agate can remind us like, no, we deserve to get to be friends and to have friends if we want them and reach out and just be honest. If you like somebody and you feel like you've been getting along, go do something, whatever, be friends. You deserve each other.
Aw, whatever. Go be friends.
Go be friends. That's Moss Agate.
Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah. There you go.
Beautiful. I love it. I'm still perturbed about the human comment.
Oh, I loved it. It made me proud.
I mean, I love it. Don't get me wrong. And I think it's a very good way to just refer to people. Just humans. But like, also sometimes I feel like children give themselves away. You know, like when you hear kids talk about like, in my before life, I was a fire person or whatever. But like,
oh, yeah.
You're like, oof.
Yeah, they're still fresh enough in their skins that they haven't forgotten the origins yet.
In their skins. God. I'm tapped, man.
I'm tired, tapped. Dude. I've had a long day. I feel like I stumbled my way through this.
I know. I had that thing happen where you look at two words close to each other and you make them one word. That was my entire topic. I'm not sure if I said one word of English.
I did the thing that I do a lot to where I wrote in paragraphs. And every time I do that, I fumble all over it because it's so hard to... Because like a lot of times when I'm writing something, like I just kind of get in on like tangents and like it almost just, it's like none of this is relevant to this topic.
Dude, that's how I wrote my notes for the first season of Farmer Wants a Wife. And
you learn, you know what, live and learn, except in this case, I've been doing this for 5 years and I still fucking do this sometimes. I don't know why.
Hey, listen. That's who we are. And if you like who we are, you can help support the show on our Patreon.
Please.
Patreon.com/WooBahPodcast. You can be a part of our Patreon shout out segment. Get your name in a song. Don't you want that? Everyone wants to, was it spread out in an alley like Freddy Krueger? Yeah.
How tall your shadows stretch out?
Oh, you can have access. There's extra content. There's a private Facebook group where we do monthly live streams, one or two monthly bonus episodes, but we know what you're there for. You're there for the Simp Cap, Simply Captivating, every Thursday or Friday if we have stuff going on, you'll see. We talk about stuff, and right now we're in season 3 talking Cushiel's Dart. Please join us.
I'm so excited watching you slowly get obsessed. I can't wait to get into it next week. Yeah. I'm already boisting with it, and anyway,
I've been thinking a lot about the groovy character, the groovy Jesus, Eloah's balls.
He's a groovy cat, man. He just wants to sing. He'll give you a glass of wine, he'll give you a kiss on the cheek and a wreath of flowers, and y'all'll have a good time.
Join us again, patreon.com /WooBahPodcast. We have an email.
WooBahCom.
WooBah.com. For your an email address for your advertising inquiries and your spooky-sode submissions. WooBahPodcast@gmail.com. The Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter, the OnlyFans, the Patreon, the email, the mailing address, all of that is listed down below in the show notes. Okay?
Whoa, mixing it up today. Wow, really, really making them work for it today.
Yeah. I'm trying to get out of here and go get that cheese pizza that I've been daydreaming about.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the first meal that I feel like I've eaten since I got sick.
Okay. Go eat your right. cheese pea. Okay. Go eat it.
Gross. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Let me ask you a question. This is a little off topic here, but just like, listen, brother, does a pizza ever just sound especially good to you?
Yeah. Those are usually the times that I have pizza.
I mean, listen, pizza always sounds good. Like, listen, when somebody is like, hey, we could do pizza. You're like, oh, this is fucking sick. Pizza. I love pizza. But like, there's sometimes where you would like.
Big time.
Gush over pizza.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I just needed to express to you that that's how I'm feeling.
Hey, that's okay. I get it. I feel that way sometimes, too.
I just saw a picture of someone doing, like, a big deep dish Chicago pizza. And it was, like, so saucy and cheesy. And my brain went, this is what we will obsess on right now.
What do you mean by they were doing it? Like, I assume you mean making it, eating it?
No.
What do you mean by that?
No, they were fucking it, maybe.
Okay, sure. Wet, hot.
Ew.